sign from above.
Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to the maiden voyage of A Wing and a Prayer. We've been praying about this since October. That is a lie. We're not going to start A Wing and a Prayer off with a lie. We've been talking about this. We've been praying about this for about 7 minutes now. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to our maiden voyage, because Luke Tibor is joining us from North Dakota and Pastor Jeff Weiss from Tennessee. We're going to explain more and talk about what we're going to get into. Actually, we can't really talk about what we're going to get into because we don't know. It's just going to come to us with a wing and a prayer. And no doubt, I believe we need a whole lot more prayer and a few more angels bearing wings in our life today. But I know of no more fitting way, Pastor Jeff Weiss, than to open this up with, I think you should go with an invocation instead of a benediction.
I think it's a good idea. I think, although it is scriptural to go ahead and give God thanks for what's going to happen up front, because we know how he shows up. Amen, Luke. So for me, Easter is a pretty special time. Uh-huh. And so it's pretty exciting that we get to be in Holy Week right now, and that today is Easter. So absolutely, I think we should pray for sure. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this incredible opportunity to share with those of your people, your creation, for those whose hearts are open. And today we can't help but just give you so much thanks for one thing, and that's that tomb was empty. That we can live like people who know that tomb was empty, kind of like we've already seen the end of the ball game. And Lord, we just ask that our words be your words, that you remove all of us from this conversation, and that you have your way with us. And I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I think the fitting way to start, guys, and I got to be honest, this was in most ways Marty Beard's idea. I ran with it. And Marty will be joining us at some point in time, not today, but at some point in time in the near future. He is dealing with his own wings and prayers and his family at this time. So if you would, please continue prayers for Marty Beard of Stuartsdale, North Dakota. But I thought it would be nice to just kind of do a little intro for each of us. And we may have a plethora of people that come through here every weekend. And I'm going to open it up, guys, because I just want to explain why that I think this is a great idea. I think most people know that I got in the media business as a sixth generation farmer 24 years ago. And I did that because I didn't think people knew enough about where and who was producing their food and their fuel and their fiber and things like that. I wanted people to have a better understanding of exactly where their food was coming from. And in the past 24 years, and obviously that's accelerated in the past 4 years, it's become apparent that we have this ever-growing population that wants to worship the creation instead of the creator. And I've come to the realization, guys, that even though I started doing this in the name of telling the story of agriculture, everything that we do in agriculture is about taking care of God's creation. And in taking care of that creation, we generate the essentials of life that can improve mankind. So we're literally doing God's work. We are in the middle of a spiritual battle. There's no doubt about that in today's world. And so every time I get the opportunity to tune in and bring more of what it is that this Bible tells us we should be doing and incorporate that into daily lives. And Marty, I just got to give a plug for Marty, because Marty said, we need to do something where we're encouraging in-home Bible study instead of just giving sermons and lectures and things like that. And so I talked to Luke Tibor, I talked to Pastor Jeff Weiss, and I've talked to several other people who want to contribute from time to time. And that at the end of the day is why I'm here, is that I want to contribute in the way that I'm called to in this spiritual battle that we're in right now. And with that, Luke Tibor, why are you here?
Well, we work together on a little show called Across the Pond that some of you might have watched before. And so I've got to know Trent over the last couple of years personally, and then going back to his Loose Tales radio show is where I knew about Trent originally. So I enjoyed that program. And when we do TV, the best part of TV is when we're in break or before the show, when people don't hear what we're talking about. So we've got, you know, we've gotten along and we talk about a lot of these, you know, how it all relates back to the creator, you know, like global warming, when you're talking about the CO2, you know, eating animals is okay, you know, because we're given that by the creator. But as far as, what I bring from a, whatever you want to say, kind of a religious aspect, I was raised Catholic, and, a long story, we could probably talk about it later, but eventually I kind of started to read the Bible and kind of study it myself. And what I've kind of come upon, I think what people would kind of commonly refer to is the Hebrew roots aspect. And there's been a big Hebrew roots movement going on. You can look all over. There's all kinds of people. And Hebrew roots is kind of like being a libertarian. There's a lot of people that say that they are, but there's not a lot of things either that are agreed upon, you know. So I've gotten into a lot of that. And there's a few people that I study from or whatever. So as far as, you know, like me being here now, and you're talking about Easter and the Holy Week and everything, and while we all agree that the Messiah was raised up, you know, I don't do the Easter and the Good Friday part of it. So, you know, from the traditional Western Christian kind of ideas, that's kind of radical. So I'll probably be the least favorite person, you know, of what I have to say. But I think that there's some relevance in understanding the Hebrew perspective of the Messiah, because he was a Jew or Hebrew or whatever you want to say about it, you know, and there was a reason, and he fulfilled a lot of things through his ministry. And that's not often talked about, at least from me, in my perspective of going to Catholic Church, wasn't talked about, you know, like a lot of things that I've read and heard that I had no clue that ever happened. You know, so to bring some of that, at least to acknowledge, to get people to kind of think of it in that way, because we've been told a lot of things like, then you can read, you can look in this book. I like, where does it talk about bunnies, you know, the clean and unclean animals, but that, you know what I mean? So, and you may,
do they lay eggs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Laying eggs. Exactly. You know what I mean? So, and there's, you know, I mean, that's. You know, I mean, it's a pagan tradition, and the first, you know, you should have no other gods before me. So how serious you were going to take that, you know, and not knowing and being inherited lies or mistruths or whatever, you know, it's a tough thing to go through. So, you know, there's a lot of that. And then there was another radio show that I used to listen to called Coast to Coast AM, which is a big conspiracy theory. It talks all kinds of stuff about that, but there's a lot of like of the occult things too, that if you want to tie into world events, you know, that could be pretty interesting too, if we want to ever go on that road as we're talking, or if we go on that road.
I think we go on every road possible. I don't have any tie to the Easter bunny per se. But I think the egg is pretty significant, and because every one of us start from an egg, it's like the birth of a new life.
Yeah, I mean, we could do the friendly introductions now. We don't have to get into the meat. Nobody even knows who Jeff is or how he knows us. So
everybody knows who Jeff is.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Jeff is this amazing artist who understands that you have to educate people through pictures. Look at this.
Yeah,
where's yours, Luke? Did you get one? Oh, that's not good. See, this is the little devil over here, and there's my angel. Luke Weiss, you have 2.5 minutes.
Luke Weiss. Well, how about
did I say that?
I will go ahead. How about you be Jeff Weiss? I maybe that meant we were supposed to both talk at the same time. Boy, Luke hit so many things. I absolutely nailed them already starting off. So I guess we're done. But no, what I found is that I have been down many of the same learning experiences that Luke has. And I found out a lot of things myself, but not being necessarily the intellect I'm more of the people guy. And what I found was there's this whole, because of what Luke can tell us all about, because what this, I mean, let's, okay, I'm still getting over last Sunday, because you talk about the greatest opportunity for churches to exonerate a hero in the Christian movement, and instead they wear green and pinch each other, you know? So the idea that pagan holidays have been taken over, well, we can go back and we know historically why that was, because it was pagans who allowed us to celebrate those in the beginning. And so, but what I have found is that when I start there, someone like myself, who as only, I'm 60 now, so only 16 years have I been had a personal relationship with Christ, so I would say that I was saved 16 years ago. And I'm telling you, man, I was lied to on such a fundamental basis, you guys, that I consider myself my own first grade teacher. And so I do a lot of teaching and speaking, and do prisons and jails and churches and everywhere in the middle. And the most simple concepts are completely misunderstood. And what I found out is, if somebody's not willing to go ahead and explain why 1 + 1 = 2 and create a foundation that is truly biblical, right, then all of the things that Luke can teach us are immaterial, because the people don't understand that this is their personal story. Like, everybody has a Genesis story, you know? And so that's where I can see already this is going to be great, because I have international ministries as well. And so it's the same way there. We're working through a translator, but it's a simple concept of, hey, you're a child of God. You were born with a purpose that he had. So get out of his way, right?
I'm going to get out of your way, but we're going to take a little break first. It's a wing and a prayer. We'll be back with Jeff, Luke, and Trent after this.
On the wings of a dove,
on the wings of a dove,
when Jesus came down to the river that day, he was baptized in the usual way. When it was done, God blessed his son, send down his love on the wings of a dove,
on the wings of a snow white dove.
Folks, when it comes to crop protection, you need equipment and technology you can count on. The Apache sprayer accomplishes all of that, but you need something else: a service counter and a group of people that'll help you when you need it. Simpson Farm Enterprises at simpsonfarm.com and High Plains Apache from Mandan. They have the service. They have the equipment. All they need is your confidence. Online, simpsonfarm.com or highplainsapache.com.
On the wings of a snow white dove, he sends his pure sweet love, a sign from above.
Welcome back. A wing and a prayer. Trent Luce alongside Luke Tabor joining us. He's the one with the crucifix behind him, which he's going to tell him he's not at all across. Anyway, Pastor Jeff Weiss, I want to finish up, because I got in your way just about the time you started to talk about global ministries that you're doing. And you and our youngest, soon to be 19-year-old Landry, was quite impressed with what you're doing with your global ministries. I got to tell you, she's still talking about it.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm impressed with her, knowing partly of what her upbringing has been like. You know, it's very amazing.
When you figure out what her upbringing has been like, let me know, because she excels her mother and her father at such a level that I'm like, where did you come from, child?
Man, awesome job. And God has anointed her with an incredible purpose. But that's what I was talking about, that Genesis to me is where a lot of my misunderstanding came from. Primarily the misunderstanding was when I was 12 and they handed me a Bible and a cupcake after I'd completed this short class and said, congratulations, basically you're going to heaven. Yeah. And I lived like that for many, many, many years. And I came to this realization that through conviction that it just wasn't so. But as Luke said, it came in the form of falling in love with this word. And like he said, not just reading what it says here. Sometimes I'll have 4, 5, 6 translations out, and then I'll have to, I'm not like Luke. I'll call my Hebrew mentor and I'll say, now what is this deal here? It doesn't make sense. So although there's all different levels that we need to understand and learn, but if we don't have the proper foundation, Trent, it doesn't matter, because I feel like we have been born into this Greek system of learning things like I did, where I cram for a test to get my C minus. So I'm out of there. Right. And then I forget everything 72 hours later, where I'm a little more simple, because I am relating to a lot of times Muslims or, you know, people that are not of the faith. But just Romans 12:2 in itself, that whole concept of renewing your mind for me has blown up so big. And in the Hebrew language, you can go so deep in what that means. But we literally have to think almost everything differently than we did before we were living a life surrendered in Christ. But what most of us do is continue to serve two masters, which is kind of a dangerous spot to be.
You actually brought up something that I had thought of. The only thing I really thought about on how we would put this together, and Luke and I have, with some brevity, had this conversation. So Pastor Jeff Weiss, I'll have you respond to that first, because you just said that you'll have 6 translations. Should we get hung up in which translation we're reading?
You're going to catch me through the course of this show saying this so many times, that the Lord will convict everybody in their own individual way. There is no program. It has to be an individual seeking, right? And the story I use is that I didn't like to read. I was unsaved, and my mother, before she passed, bought me those Left Behind series books, right? And so I start reading them. I knew they were, you know, fiction, but I was reading them, and she'd buy me the next one. And by the time I got through all those, I enjoyed reading. Well, it turns out God was preparing me, because I got saved shortly after, and then it was so easy to fall in love with reading the Bible. But I'll never forget, years later, a pastor in a service made fun of that Left Behind series, that he had a doctorate from Columbia, right? So that was so far beneath him. But I felt that at that moment, that Romans 8:28, I believe it says, where God will use everything. He'll use everything to his good. And so for me, I knew those books were not accurate, probably in most ways. But man, somehow God used that to lead me there. So I would answer your question on what translation. Listen, there are times when the King James Version is the only thing that I really need to hear, right? And then there are times when I'm trying to help someone who is maybe very much a beginner, right? And they're new to the faith. And so the Message, it'll say it in a way that it's like, wow. And then we can start from that point and build our way. So I don't know. The Holy Spirit leads me, and it does it in a way that it's very situational. He puts me at crossroads and gives me what I need at the time. So I don't believe there's one fix, let me go one step farther. You talked about spiritual attack. I believe to get caught up in those types of discussions is a form of a spiritual attack, because there's way more important stuff going on in this day and time for us to be united and be together in the big stuff and to move forward proclaiming the name of Christ.
All right, Luke, same question.
Well, I think English is probably the worst language to be learning the Gospels from, you know, because you got it was from German, from Greek, maybe from the Hebrew, but then you have scholars in between, Greek scholars that don't understand maybe some Hebrew terminology, which doesn't get translated right. Then when it gets translated by Gutenberg, then it gets translated to English and then to new versions. It's like that line where you tell one person something, and by the time it gets down to the 10th person, it's a different message, you know. And there's also been times that's been pointed out, like I think it's John 6:1. Now, I'm not a big verse guy. There's not like I can't just like, oh, this here says that, you know, but it says something to the effect it. And then Sabbath of the Jews or something was nigh, and what it that was new. Like there's some of the there's a Hebrew version of Matthew that's found that, or what? Well, anyway, back to my point though, it should not be a Sabbath, but it should be the Feast of Trumpets, right? Because they don't understand the Hebrew feast, so they might just put Sabbath or some substitute something like that in there. But it also kind of makes it relevant because you to know the timing of when these events and these things were happening. Because besides having the Bible there, there's the one ministry that I watch a lot is the Michael Rood, and he came out with this chronological gospels. His main point is there's one event in the gospels that you can time that they're all four recorded. That's the feeding of the 5,000. Then you can go back and time out the ministry of Yeshua or Jesus or whatever. But it's not 3.5 years, it's 70 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then it also shows how he fulfills, like we have the Passover lamb, the whole rehearsal of Passover that the Jews had. So now you see the Messiah actually fulfilling those things, something that they'd rehearsed for hundreds of years before that. And then you understand why that was all put in place and how much more significant everything was that he did. That, and so you lose that in the English.
I don't get hung up on that. I actually like a blend of what you both said. I'm not going to learn Hebrew. I mean, that's just how it is.
Well, I'm not either. But
I did get a little wonky when I learned that Shakespeare was involved in translating the King James Version, but that's just my hang up. I really like what Jeff's bringing to the equation by saying, you know, you're here for the Spirit of the Lord, and he is going to shed the information that you need. And I don't know that it's worth a lot of time. We probably spent more time talking about it here than we should, but it's a discussion that seems to come up a lot, guys. Maybe it's just a distraction, Jeff.
Well, I think what it is you've just got so many different levels of people in spirituality. And I'm never talking about it for better or for worse, because man, the Lord is patient and he is going to wait, right? Mm-hmm. And so what I see is that people like me who came to it later in life, right? At 44, I'm not learning Hebrew either, but I've ran businesses very successfully and done other things and realized you don't have to know it. You got to know Luke, right? And you got to be able to text Luke. I have a pastor that's worked with me on some of that. And what I realized when I started digging in deep is I wasn't getting to do, let me give you an example of where I'm at on this and why it takes all of us. Saturday, I had the privilege, without going into a lot of detail, of going to our state prison here. And the goal was to, we take chocolate chip cookies as an agape form of love to let the guys know they hadn't been forgotten, blah, blah, blah. Well, I went down there and I had never been in the infirmary before. And I went in there and I got to give a dozen cookies to six men who were on suicide watch. And so, you know, that encounter that I had, you know, it's just so different. I have to know different things. I got to know. And what I would tell them is, hey, a bunch of church ladies bake these cookies for you. They prayed about you and they don't even know you. And us knuckleheads brought them to you to let you know you're not forgotten and that you're a child of God. Because some people, that is the level you need to be, that we need to be meeting them on, right? Where me, I'm now getting what Luke is feeding, you see? It's like the scripture talks about it. There's a place for milk, but then you got to move on to meat. Amen. And so I'm still realizing that a ginormous, that's not a word, but we use it anyway, percentage of American churchgoers don't even know their identity in Christ. And so if you layer on top of that more information, it's kind of like practicing a bad golf swing. You can spend all day at the driving range, and if you're doing it wrong, you're going to get worse. And so for me, I feel like it's course correction. It's the idea that, hey, you're a spirit with a soul, and this body's temporary. You're going to live forever. And the more you can die to your flesh, the more fullness of life, the more you'll discover your purpose. And just trying to help people wake up a little bit on what is living inside of their chest and what happened on when Jesus gave his life and was risen again, right? I mean, and so you go through Palm Sunday, and like he said, these pagan holidays that we celebrate and the way that they are, you go through them and you watch that they are just very ritualistic when I'm watching people where this simple message is saving lives. You know,
it's a prayer
in people.
Ginormous was not a word until the U.S. Congress continues to spend money in a ginormous sort of way. We'll be back with the next half of Wing and a Prayer after this.
Amen.
On the wings of a dove,
on the wings of a dove,
when Jesus came down to the river that day, he was baptized in the usual way. When it was done, God blessed his son. Send down his love on the wings of a dove,
on the wings of a snow white dove.
We tend to want to be ruled and cared for instead of taking responsibility and cherishing liberty.
1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 26, Paul says straight up, do not become the slaves of men. And hopefully people will more and more realize the importance of cherishing liberty, respecting what men fought, bled, and died for us to possess, and not glibly throw it on the ground and allow it to be trampled by tyrants.
On the wings of a snow white dove, he sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above,
a sign from above,
on the wings of a dove.
Welcome back, Trent Luce with a wing and a prayer. Luke Tibor, Pastor Jeff Weiss joining us. And this is even better than I thought it might be, because every time you guys say something, I just think of 12 new avenues that we should pursue. Jeff, I think I'm going to change something that I've always said. In fact, I did it earlier this week when I asked somebody, what was the impetus behind when you got into the ministry? I'm going to ask, what's your Genesis story of you getting into the ministry? I think that that's certainly more spiritual.
Well, the fact is, and we'll get into this more, and we can always dig deeper into it, but the surveys are coming out about how a lot of pastors, right, will get the call to ministry, and they'll go all the way through seminary, and then they'll get a church only to discover that that really wasn't their calling, but they're kind of wedged into it now, right? They've got the student loan debt, and this is their job, and so it becomes more of a career, what we're finding, and in fact, they're finding that maybe you even lose your salvation. So in that regard, what I have learned is this word calls you've lost your first love. And that was when you very, very, very first said, man, my life was a wreck. And the message of this Christ absolutely changed me. And here's who I am now, right? Because I believe that's the job of the enemy, is to move all these shiny objects around, just completely distracting us from our created purpose, which truly is to love somebody else, especially if we don't know them more than we love ourselves.
Luke, you mentioned that your Genesis story was that you were Catholic, but you started reading the Bible yourself. I think that that's a big statement. So many people, including me, far too often, you sit in church on Sunday or beyond, even maybe it's maybe every day, maybe a little something, or read an inspirational devotional every day, whatever the case may be, but we don't read it ourselves for our own interpretation often enough. We just rely on what somebody else has to say to us. I think that was a big statement.
Well, and if you want the longer version of that story,
hang on. Let me set my time. All right, go. Yeah.
So I was one of those, you know, typical people. Yeah, I believe I belong to this religion, whatever it is, but you don't go to service regularly. You know, you might feel guilty about going to an Easter service or Christmas or whatever, and then the rest of the time you sleep in on Sunday, whatever, you know. So this was in 2008, and like I was saying before, that Coast to Coast show, right? So I would go home from work before everything was on the cell phones and you could look at, you know, and so I'd do that on the computer. I went to the Coast to Coast website, and they'd always have this night's guest and last night's guest. The last night's guest I started reading about, because he was talking about prophecy and all this, you know, I'm like, oh, that's, I'm always interested in that kind of stuff, you know, Nostradamus or Edgar Cayce or what, any of that. You know, I was all interested about that. And he said, he talked about things from Revelation in this book, you know, oh, wow, cool. You know, so I went to his website and I was looking around, you know, and he was saying all this stuff, but not giving away anything for free. You know, he's like, I like to do this for a living, but I, you know, can't give it away for free. So if you buy my book, I can do this for a living. I'm like, all right, that's honest. So I bought it. It was only 20 bucks. So he goes through the first couple chapters. It wasn't very long. Talks about some of his things with Revelation and Wormwood and whatever he thought it was. But the last chapter is what changed my mind on a lot of things, or at least opened my eyes, right? The chapter was called Mystery of Disunity. And he posed the question, why are there 20 to 40,000 different Christian denominations? You know, and he's like, it's simple. They all break scripture at some point. Mm-hmm. And then he went through to cite a few things. I'm like, oh, really? Well, let me look into this, you know? So I started looking into it. Like I said, this was in 2008. I was living with my little brother and a cousin of ours. They were hanging out in the other room, and I just presumed that they were watching Obama conspiracy videos, because this was all of a sudden when Obama started getting popular and all this, right? So I'm starting to look into all this stuff, and then one night I was kind of talking to my brother. I'm like, yeah, you know, I was reading this book and looking into this, and then me and him started talking, and we were basically like on the same page, like getting into this stuff independently from each other in the same house. Rooms apart. And then I had my cousin that was living with us, his brother and sister also out in Montana, were doing the exact same thing at the same time.
Oh, wow.
You know, so it was just kind of freakish how we all independently kind of came to this new mindset of things, and maybe that we have to go back and relearn what we're really supposed to do, you know, because everybody just thinks like Jesus was just some like hippie dude. That's like, yeah, cool. Everybody just be cool. And it's all good now. You know, everybody's going to heaven now. If you just believe in me, it's all you have to do. Well, he also said that that wasn't going to be the case, and that people were going to cast out demons in his name. And he's going to say, depart from me. So,
oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. You know, so it was very interesting though, that, you know, that all happened at the same time.
Well, I have to tell you, and I don't think you know this, Luke, but still to this day, as we started talking about Marty, because he was so much of the Genesis moment for bringing this whole Wing and a Prayer together, and we'll be here. But his favorite radio program, probably his favorite broadcast ever, is Coast to Coast every night. And when he's out coon hunting, he'd listen to that.
That's the only thing that's on at night, either that or like old country.
So I brought
Anybody
him on.
AM radio, listen to that.
I brought him on Dakota Trails and Tales every Monday with Marty on Monday, just so that he would, you know, kind of pay attention to something other than Coast to Coast.
No, I mean, that's a very interesting show. I mean, at least if it's, you know, not all
it used to be, right?
I haven't listened to it for a long time now. I'm not up late enough anymore.
Because you're talking about pre-George Norrie.
George
Norrie. It was with George Norrie mostly. It was right at the transition between Art Bell and George Norrie.
Okay.
Art Bell. There you go.
Yeah. Well,
let me throw something in here, Trent.
Yeah. Go for it, Jeff.
What you guys were talking about there is so cool, because to me, when you talk about what have we failed and what don't we know and why don't we know all this, it's so funny because I think we've abdicated a lot of responsibility. And you talked about a second ago, I think, or one of you did, about It was the pastor's job, right? Well, haven't we done that with the governor, you know, the government, and haven't we done that with our schools, right? We're abdicating all this responsibility. So I think part of our problem now is we're 2 and 3 generations deep into this. And I've identified 4 problems with all of these areas that you could massage it for different areas, but we're, what we're speaking about, the 4 things we've got going on inside the American church is weak leadership, biblical illiteracy, lack of accountability, and lack of urgency, which all 4 of those are, I mean, critical foundational elements of how in Ephesians 4 that Paul tells us how to set up the church is to equip people in these exact areas, but yet that force, see, that's what I believe, that we are in a physical force that we see, feel, and touch, but there is an invisible force that is ruling this physical realm. And that's called spiritual warfare. And that's why we're so easily distracted, because we are so ready to satisfy our flesh, right? And then we're ignoring our spirit, right? And we don't dig into it because, hey, I let the preacher do it. That's kind of what I've grown up with.
Well, we certainly are easily distracted. I mean, it's human nature to be distracted, right?
Well, no. No, we are born with a human sinful nature because of Adam's disobedience. So we're born with that. You put 2 toddlers in a room and you give them each a new toy, and within a few minutes, they're not going to be satisfied with theirs. No. They're going to want the other one, and there's no way they learned that because they're a toddler, right?
And then they want the box that it came in instead of the toy. Well,
probably fight over the box.
Yeah, they're fighting over the box. Meanwhile, the toy is saying, oh, they're doing nothing.
So human nature is sinful, and that's why we must completely die to that human sinful nature and be born again into the image of Christ, is because it's no good. Don't even try to repair it. Self-help is an oxymoron.
Do you guys know who Matthew Tarula is? He wrote the book of the Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrate. I had him.
I've heard of it, but
yeah, both of you need to meet him. We had a fantastic discussion this week. In fact, he was on Trent on the Loose Friday, but he had a quote in his intro to this book that just plays right into what we're talking about here and is ultimately what I think all 3 of us are discussing in terms of what we must overcome. And that statement is, because of human nature, men tend to want to be ruled and cared for instead of taking responsibility and cherishing liberty. And at the end of the day, isn't that what we're talking about here, Luke?
Well, God gave us free will, right? The ultimate libertarian.
Free indeed. Indeed, Jeff.
True.
But free to love him. That's the point. And by reading and seeing the words that he spoke, that then tells you who the Messiah is, because he is the Word made flesh. So every single word that the Almighty spoke that's recorded, you know, you can see his love for us and why we should love him.
Yes.
You know, I mean, maybe we're not supposed to learn the name of the heathen gods and everything, but you know, when I talk to people sometimes, it's like, this God that created us, that did all this for us, when he was hanging out in the garden, he would come down to visit Adam in the cool of, that's when they discovered when they were naked, you know, he came down to visit. He's like, oh, I'm going to go down and see that Adam and Eve, man, I got to go see those guys. He loved them. Just like you guys, you know, you got kids, you want to go visit your kids because you love them. You want to go see them, you know, and that's what it's going to be at the end of the age too. Yeah. New earth, new Jerusalem. And he comes down and tabernacles. He lives with us. That's what he wants. And he wants us to love him. Not just to fear him or just, oh, we're covered by the Messiah. You know, we have to love our God. Then you're free.
We have to also stay attuned to the clock. Luke, we are on a wing and a prayer. We're back in the last segment.
It was done. God blessed his son. He sent down his love on the wings of a dove.
on the wings of a...
Trent Luce here from my friend Greg Hager. Do you know why he has been named the Entertainer of the Year? It's because he writes his own stuff. It's because what he writes and performs and entertains will touch you in a way like very few songwriters can touch you. His country, his Christian roots come to life. Visit GregHager.com for tour dates, merchandise, and book the show yourself. Use the code GREG24 for a discount. GregHager.com.
On the wings of a snow-white dove, he sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above. A sign
from above. Welcome back. I about to say so many things, but this is a wing and a prayer because I'm looking at Luke Tibor, Pastor Jeff Weiss. It's because I have too many titles in my head, Jeff. That's the only reason I'm about to say this. Okay, never mind that. But a lot of what we were just talking about, and Luke went into the love dissertation, which I love it. I love that, Luke. This is part of the problem in the church as well, because people just want to be cared for instead of taking responsibility to read the Word of God themselves like Luke did, Jeff. That's what we're talking about.
Well, yeah, but, you know, here's the thing is what I found in my ministries that I've been in is that what we as particularly Americans, I've been all over the world, but particularly Americans, we are in an age of decadence. So it is very difficult for us to understand why we would give all this up, mm-hmm. right? If you ask the average Christian in America, what was their most precious asset? You would probably get, you know, all kinds of different answers. But in Pakistan or India or Africa, when you ask a Christian, what is your most prized asset? They're all in unison saying, my salvation in Jesus Christ. I mean, there is reasons for that, you know, lukewarm. I mean, come on, man. We're living in a country where by the world standards, if that's what you're going to continue to let your mind operate, right? By the way the world defines things, then technically you're going to have it pretty good for 70 or 80 years. But I'm more into this, what Luke's talking about, this eternity thing, man. You know, and here's the thing that's hidden is that freedom, okay, is great. But because we do possess that free will, you have got to turn around, take the chains of sin off, and you've got to chain yourself to righteousness. Because what happens, and we'll talk more about this in future shows, is that when Jesus told the those who were believing him in John, he said, hey, very truly, you'll know the truth and it'll set you free. You'd have thought that it went, woohoo, here we go. And no, they were like, whoa. You know, who are you calling unfree, right? Well, it's because the idea is not just to be free so you can do whatever you want. The idea is to be free and become a slave to the gospel so that you can renew your mind. And so here's what you can do. You're going to know God. You're going to find freedom in that. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to discover your purpose. And then you're going to start making a difference. And it's not going to have anything to do with what the world has shoved down your throat for your whole life. And that conviction, and for me, getting confounded that, why would I want, I spent 10 hours Saturday by the time we drove 2 hours there and 2 hours back to walk 4 or 5 miles in some of the most hardened criminals. Well, you know why? Because in Matthew, what's it say? I was in prison and you visited me. It's just no more simple than that. And also that I have met people that'll never get out of prison who are free indeed in Jesus Christ in there. And I continually meet people at church who are so captive to this place they're caught between free and free indeed because their identity is still in things of this world.
Jeff, I want to take this in another direction for this. Well, not really. It's kind of the same direction, but Luke talked about Luke, the person, not the book. Luke talked about that he read the Bible himself to see what it said. You go into prison where I don't know how many men you visit that are, if they're suicide watch, they're probably in solitary. There's people in solitary. What I want both of us, or what I want both of you to weigh in on is how important is it behind Bible study as a group, as opposed to just reading the word and interpreting it yourself? There has to be a balance in between what's both important. Luke, you first.
Well, having a group, obviously, you bounce things off, first of all, so you can help learn. Maybe some people know more, because you talked about, you know, we're sinners, right? Well, what is sin?
Mm-hmm.
What is it? I'm interviewing you now, Trent, for a change. What is sin?
Well, right off the bat, there are 10 commandments. And if you violate one of those, you sin.
So there's, yeah, violating the law. So mm-hmm. What's the law? Well, that's, you know, you say there's 10 commandments. Some people say there's 619 commandments.
Right.
Right.
There's, I wouldn't argue that, but there's 10 that obviously are a little more important.
Well, yeah. Well, but right. So that would be a discussion of why you would have a Bible study, maybe like what we're doing now. Maybe right. The other 609 are also just as important, because some of them were like the feasts, like Passover. And Passover was a prophecy put in place, told to Moses of the coming of the Messiah. And he fulfilled all those things in Passover. Right. So how important is that to know? Like, how do you know that Jesus, because we all inherited it, right? Oh yeah, they're God and then Jesus. Absolutely. And that's just the way it is. Well, now you inherited it. Does that mean that you get to inherit eternal life without looking into it, learning, knowing?
No, the Bible says you have to earn that.
Right. So if you're not told the truth.
But the Bible also says that no sin is greater than another. So there are 10 commandments. But to your point, there may be 697 that are equally important.
I got a question for you too, Trent. You said the Bible says you got to earn it. How do you earn it? What do you have to do?
Repent.
No, that can't be unless I don't understand the translation of the thief on the cross. You have to believe that Jesus is Messiah.
You don't repent unless you believe that, though.
Right.
Because if you're not a believer, saying, then you have no reason to repent. Repent.
But what we're going
to
be doing here,
the summary.
But Luke's going to hold our feet to the fire here. We're going to, when you ask us a question, or me anyway, it's going to come straight out of a scripture that I believe to be true, and he's going to help me with it. But when you got a guy on the cross that's mm-hmm. obviously done something pretty bad, and he turns to him and says, you are who you say you are, and he says, you will be together with me today in paradise, right? So
absolutely.
You have to believe that Jesus is Lord.
And confess it, yeah.
And confess it.
The thief confessed it.
And going into what you're talking about, my answer to this question is, all these groups aren't worth much of nothing if there's no accountability. If you're not taking a scripture, and then you're not kind of, you know, and I've come out of some of the group, you know, the AA model and some of those, man, I'm telling you what, that's some productive stuff. When you get in a room and someone admits that they have a pornography problem, and you were so far away from ever letting anybody know, and you may not right then, but the next week when the guy's doing a little better, you might say, hey man, can I talk to you for a minute afterwards? That's the healing. That's the James 5 idea, that you're forgiven for your sin when you ask God. But the scriptural teaches that we can still remain spiritually sick unless we share it with somebody else that we can trust, right? Because that righteous person and their prayers are going to be what lifts me up in those times. And so for me, Bible study is about accountability group. It's got to be accountability group, because if it's about memorizing scripture, we're not going to impress him with his own words being memorized by us, are we?
No, I agree with that 100%. And along those lines, Jeff, I never understood people who pull individual scripture out that pertains to one thing. You have to read it from start to finish. If you're going to do Matthew, then you have to take the whole story and account in context instead of just pulling one scripture out.
True, but we're not taught that way. Once again, go back to, you know, we're taught to
numbered sound bites.
Read that chapter that question on the test came out of and get it right and move on. Because here's the thing. If we would memorize less scripture and we would just take one and then say, okay, we're not moving on to the next one until you tell the story where you lived that scripture out this week, right? You know,
yep,
oh, absolutely. Wow, here's how I went and did that. Because for me personally, that is when I've grown, is where God is showing me scripture when I'm serving. To me, that, and we're going to talk about this in the future, but that's the missing thing, is yeah. it getting out here and serving your fellow man. Oh my gosh, that's where you truly grow and become so just thirsty and hungry for more and more and more of what God has for you.
Luke, we're in the final 2 minutes. Unbelievably.
Yeah, it goes quick.
So do you have some thoughts to send us home with?
Well, not under 2 minutes. I mean, I think it's interesting. I think we all have our different perspectives. So it'll be, you know, to be able to share those, like you guys, I think, especially, you know, are maybe more in the New Testament idea of things, yeah. where I think I try to blend both those to understand what it all means, mm-hmm. you know, why works, what is actually important. And you can't, you know, then you know it on the heart. You don't need to know the numbered sound bites. You just know what it said and what to do.
That's right.
I do. I like that a lot. All right, Jeff, your profound wisdom to part with today.
Here's what it is that we're here because all three of us know that the world is in a chaotic mess. And we also believe the truth of the Word of God. And so what we would like to do is just help and relate every way we can as to what's happening now, how there's nothing new under the sun. How this is just a repeat of things that have happened. And the whole idea is to bring ourselves to our knees and realize that Jesus is King. That's what I got for this week.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think that you just brought that to us, because we started with a ring and a prayer. And what we end with is those of us who truly believe in that Jesus is our Christ and Savior will end up on our knees asking for forgiveness for our future and our family around us. Mm-hmm. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thanks, Luke.
Luke Tibor, Jeff Weiss, I'm Trent Luce. Have a thoughtful and prayerful week, and we'll see you next week with another Wing and a Prayer.
Shine from above,
on the wings of a dove,
on the wings of a dove,
a sign from above.
On the wings of a dove,
on the wings of a dove.
And I want to point out that you so eloquently said public lands, rancher, not federal lands, because it's the public that owns 1/3 of the United States, not the federal government. We are the federal government.
Right. Those groups, they want to close off access to the land. And we're in favor of keeping it open to everyone. And so maybe it's to the public's benefit to keep the rancher on the landscape. And so they want to make sure that it's open, and so do we. And so I think we have common friends in that arena.